Good morning and welcome to the July 7th, 2025 Rules Committee meeting. I am your chair, Supervisor Shimon Walton, joined by Vice Chair Supervisor Cheryl and President Raphael Mandelman. Today's clerk is Victor Young, and we will be joined by Jamie Echeverry from SFGov TV. I want to thank them for being available to make sure that this hearing and this meeting is available to the public on SFGov TV. Mr. Clerk, do we have any announcements this morning?
Yes, public comment will be taken on each item on this agenda. When your item of interest comes up and public comment is called, please line up to speak on your right. Alternatively, you may submit public comment in writing in either of the following ways. Email them to myself, the Rules Committee Clerk, at victor.young@sfgov.org. If you submit public comment via email, it will be included as part of the file. You may also send your written comments via U.S. mail to our office in City Hall, 1 Dr. Carlton B. Goodlett Place, room 244, San Francisco, California, 94102. Please make sure to silence all cell phones and electronic devices. Documents to be included as part of the file should be submitted to the clerk. Items acted upon today are expected to appear on the Board of Supervisors agenda of July 15, 2025, unless otherwise stated. That completes my initial announcements.
Thank you so much. Would you please call item number one?
Item number one is a hearing to consider appointing one member term ending May 1st, 2029 to the Homelessness Oversight Commission.
Thank you. And just for public and for colleagues, I'm going to make a motion to continue this to the call of the chair so all candidates that want an opportunity to come before this body have a chance. But I do know we have one of the candidates here, so if you want to come up and say anything, please do.
Thank you so much. My name is Kristen Evans. I'm currently in seat six on the Homeless Oversight Commission. On Wednesday afternoon, I received a call from Bridget Battisau, the Commission Secretary of the Homeless Oversight Commission, informing me that there was a hearing here at the Rules Committee to make a recommendation on seat six of the Homeless Oversight Commission. Within an hour, I submitted my application to be considered for reappointment to seat six. Ultimately, what our city needs to grapple with is a decades-long trend in growing homelessness, is to invest in prevention and to avoid San Francisco falling into homelessness. It's my vision for this seat to provide meaningful outcomes from our homeless response system, provide adequate, affordable housing, and effectively deploy our limited homeless resources to support people in obtaining stable, quality housing. My work on the commission has been extensive. I have invested time into deeply understanding the system, both by working in collaboration with the city department and service providers, along with walking side by side with homeless people to understand firsthand the barriers they face in navigating the system. I have come prepared to every meeting, submitting questions ahead of time after reviewing the agenda, and I'm able to contribute to meetings in a detailed understanding of the system's efficiencies and inefficiencies, gaps and failures that assist the commission in meeting its goals of oversight. The criteria for seat six is as follows: a person with significant experience providing services to or engaging in advocacy on behalf of persons experiencing homelessness. I have personally dedicated years to exactly that through organizations, direct advocacy, and even legislation. As one of three legal proponents for the Proposition C, Our City, Our Home ballot measure passed in 2018, I have advocated for the deployment of dollars for real solutions: housing, homeless prevention, behavioral health, and shelter to address homelessness in our community. As a result of voters passing Prop C with 61% of the vote, the city's annual resources to provide homes nearly doubled. Every year, the city's controller's office releases a report on the solutions that have been deployed using the OCO fund. To date, thousands of San Franciscans have been assisted out of homelessness through housing vouchers and new permanent supportive housing units. Could you imagine what the impact on San Francisco streets would be if we had not had that funding? 96% of households placed in permanent supportive housing have stayed housed. Make no mistake, misuse of Prop C funds will exacerbate homelessness in San Francisco, which I will explain. After reviewing the latest report, it would appear that Prop C funds are the last thread holding our city back from what would otherwise have been even more cataclysmic homelessness brought on by our housing crisis. Notably, Proposition C required that 45% of these housing fund dollars assist homeless families and youth aged 18 to 29. Historically, our city's homeless response system has been primarily directed to adult shelter and supportive housing needs. However, what has been notable in the last point in time count was a surge in doubling of family homelessness, a trend which has unfortunately continued as we've seen the addition of approximately 100 new families added to the shelter wait list every month this year. Under this new administration, the mayor has pushed a focus on adult shelter only policy. Mayor Lurie's budget proposal released in May was to sweep all unencumbered and interest funds in the OCO fund for adult shelter. Only through considerable advocacy did we achieve a more balanced approach, allocating a portion of housing and homeless prevention dollars for adults, family, and youth. Unchecked, we can anticipate a continuation of a shelter-only focus from this administration, a strategy, while positive in its approach to addressing much-needed resources for substance and mental health treatment at shelter sites, lacks a vision for addressing the root cause of homelessness: inadequate, affordable housing. Shelter-only perpetuates our homelessness crisis. Other cities, like Houston, have tried housing first policies that have seen drastic reductions in homelessness with the same low recidivism rate. When people cry, "But how can we afford that?" I want to remind you that it is the very reason we passed Prop C. It funds this very effective solution with permanent housing. In fact, today, over 5,000 people, including 1,700 children, have a safe and decent place to call home thanks to Proposition C. Detractors say that Housing First is all about compassion, but it's actually about a lasting solution. The data is all there. A shelter-only strategy fails not only because it is more expensive to provide 24/7 staff beds, but also because a significant percentage of people experiencing homelessness are not appropriate placements into chaotic congregate settings with expectation
that
they
would— Thank you, Commissioner. I think that, one, you will have another time to come before this body to talk about your appointment or the appointment to this position. But if you can wrap it up for us,
I'm almost done to
come back before this body.
Thank you. I'm almost done. I have one more paragraph. A shelter-only strategy fails not only because it's more expensive to provide 24/7 staff beds, but also because a significant percentage of people experiencing homelessness are not appropriate placements into chaotic congregate setting with an expectation that they would have to remain for months and years before being matched to housing. Unless the shelter stay is truly temporary and short-term, many folks rationally seek alternatives such as living in vehicles and in tents outdoors where they have more dignity and feel safer. In the past 5 years, we have made major expansions to shelter beds in San Francisco, but the strategy has failed. Only 13% of people are moving into permanent housing, and thousands are stuck in shelter beds and leaving others whose beds are leaving the beds for the streets. We know that a majority of people experiencing homelessness are likely to accept housing over a bunk bed or cot in a crowded congregate shelter. If you focus on expanding congregate shelter, you are more likely to create street conditions where there's public pressure to arrest people, warehousing them in even more expensive jail cells. Thank you so much for your consideration. I was just going to mention, this past year, my fellow commissioners unanimously elected me vice chair of the Homeless Oversight Commission. I appreciate their vote of confidence, and I respectfully request your consideration for reappointment for seat 6.
Thank you, Commissioner. Seeing no comments or statements from colleagues, we will go to public comment on this item.
I believe the other applicant is here.
No other applicants are here.
I believe the applicant we had listed on the agenda is here. Are you Mr. Rocha?
He's not here.
Oh, he's not here?
No.
Victor, it's Bevan.
My apologies. Public comment. Members of the public who wish to speak on this item shall end up speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
And welcome our of course, Supervisor Bevin Duffy, good to see you this morning.
Good morning. It's good to see you, gentlemen. Good morning, supervisors. I want to just point out a few thoughts. One is that, this commission was established despite the opposition of the mayor at that time, and we have worked well together. We have had three appointees from the board, four appointees from the mayor, and there really has not been division. We've worked in a supportive environment, respectful to staff, and I think doing a good job. And I think that Commissioner Evans has been at the head of the list and the incredible job that she's done. The commissioner pointed out that the requirement for this seat is it shall be held by a person with significant experience providing services to or engaging in advocacy on behalf of persons experiencing homelessness. And I do want to point out that I know Mr. Rucka and worked with him almost 20 years ago when he had a project at the corner of Mission and Chavez. It was experiencing opposition at the board. And I met with him, got to know him, respect him enormously, and do want to point out that it's my understanding that he has applied for the two seats that are open that are subject to the mayor's appointment. But the advocacy role that this Commissioner Evans has played with individuals is what I really respect the most, and it's what I tried to do, whether I was a supervisor or worked for Mayor Lee, is to roll up your sleeves, get down in the mud, and recognize that our systems are too complicated for many people, and too many people fail because of that, and Kristen has done a great job in rooting out these problems and helping change people's lives. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Rules Committee. Griffin Lee here, speaking as a resident, District 2 resident. Kristen, thanks for your little speech there. I find it fascinating, interesting how residents of San Francisco can actually collaborate and come together at times. I've gotten to know Kristen over the last year or two, and despite certain opposition, I feel the respect for her from her. But at the same time, on the Prop C funds, I do want to highlight that since 2018, roughly only 600 beds have been implemented through Prop C funds, and billions of dollars have been awarded from the Prop C funds, tax dollars. And homelessness is only actually exacerbated and accelerated since 2018. We need to do better at allocating the funds to the necessary resources and services to get people off the streets into the care they need. It's not happening today. And I know there are certain percentages of allocation from Prop C funds, and those we may want to look at redistributing to make sure they're being used effectively, because 600-ish beds for billions of dollars does not add up. So thanks for hearing me out, and have a lovely day.
Hey, everybody. Commissioner Guerrero for the Homelessness Oversight Commission. I hold the seat for lived experience, and I know some of y'all don't know a lot about me, but in 2022, I was in house from 2015 to 2020. In 2022, I opened the first transgender shelter and navigation center in the 5th and Bryant, the Taman Bhutan Navigation Center, which I named after a young gender nonconforming person who passed away and fell through every crack at the Bayshore Navigation Center when I worked there. so I do feel concerned that, you know, maybe supervisors not quite aware of the workings of the commission and the ways that the commission is effective. So I do feel very concerned for the potential of losing Commissioner Evans. You know, you don't see a lot of trans people in housing in city office, and she has been my main coach and support in my role, and I would be a huge loss for me to not have that collaboration on the commission. And she does have the support of the majority, if not all of the commissioners, so I'll just get to my point. As vice chair, she is the most active, trusted, and effective member of our commission, bringing a rare and essential mix of political insight and real on-the-ground experience with service providers, unhoused residents, and city officials. That's exactly what this commission was created to center. No other commissioner, including myself, even in the lived experience seat, has built the level of trust Commissioner Evans has. I've been a provider and a director of a shelter, and even I don't have the active working relationships or diverse knowledge she brings. That kind of trust and collaboration cannot be handed over, manufactured, or replaced overnight. She has consistently acted as a bridge, translating frustration into actionable dialogue through effective data analysis, policy recommendations, and keeping stakeholders engaged. Especially after a budget that's already sparked backlash, removing that bridge would only inflame tensions. Without her, that feedback won't disappear. It will risk landing directly on your offices through increased public pressure and confrontation.
Thank you. Your time has elapsed.
Are there any other speakers for public comment? There are no other speakers.
Seeing no other speakers, public comment is now closed. And definitely just want to state for the record that this commission is of utmost importance to this body. I also want to state for the record, so that everyone is clear, Commissioner Evans' term expired and she did not reapply. And that's why we are having another conversation and it was open for other candidates. So have to state that for the record because people seem to think that we don't know what we're doing on this body. So I have to let everybody know what's going on. With that said, public comment is now closed and I'd like to make a motion to continue this to the call of chair.
On the motion to continue the matter to the call of the chair, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 2.
Item number 2 is a motion approving or rejecting President Raphael Mandelman's nomination for the appointment of Gail Starr, term ending June 6, 2029, to the Enhanced Infrastructure Financing District Public Financing Authority number 1.
Thank you so much. And is Gail here? Yes. Good to see you this morning.
Thank you, and good morning to you. Thank you for considering me for this role. I'm a current resident of District 2 and have been for over 30 years. I'm a former attorney and retired as a global head of capital markets for Prologis, the large real estate investment trust. And in that role, I was responsible for all the corporate and real estate level financing, including infrastructure financing for large multi-phase projects. I financed the Pier 1 building when Prologis moved in through historical tax credits. I guided the financing and refinancing of a large phased multi-industrial development in Miami using a CFD type of structure. So I'm very familiar with that, as well as tax increment financing districts, which I directed on a Colorado project, and tax abatement mechanisms that I was involved in an Ohio project. So I'm familiar with industrial development through my years at Prologis. I'm also sitting on the advisory board now of two different companies. One is a retail real estate company out of Seattle, and they have assets across the United States. The other one is a San Francisco-based multifamily developer and owner that is in the Western U.S., as well as I'm an independent director on a large crowdfunding real estate company that does multifamily industrial and single-family rentals. I also have experience. Prior to joining Prologis, I worked for a national developer and developed three phases of a project that is now occupied by Facebook or Meta down in Menlo Park, and as well as we came very close to doing a CFD in Livermore for a multi-phase project. So in short, given my experience with the multiple types of real estate and the development process, my knowledge of financing structures, I hope I'm qualified to serve and that you will consider me. Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. Seeing no comments or statements from colleagues, we will go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. Seeing no comments or statements from colleagues, I'd like to make a motion to remove rejecting and keep approving and send this forward to the full board with recommendation.
Would you like to send that out as a committee report?
As a committee report, my apologies.
Yes, amended and recommended as a committee report on that motion. Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Please call item number 3.
Item number 3 is a motion approving and rejecting President Rafael Mandelman's nomination for the appointment of Kath Sokolaskis, term ending June 6, 2027, to the Enhanced Infrastructure Financing District Public Financing Authority number 1.
Thank you so much, and I believe Kath is here. And I do not want to mispronounce your last name.
You don't worry about it. I've heard it all.
Thank you so much.
Silent tea. It's like pizza.
Got it.
So my name is Kath Sakalakis. I'd like to be considered for the EIFD. I've got a lot of acronyms to learn, apparently. I hope, firstly, that my business experience will be useful to the committee. My last job before I retired was 12 years at Bain & Company. And as part of my career, I bring an international perspective, not just an accent. I lived in many different countries on all continents except Antarctica, and that's not because I dislike penguins, that's just how it is. So after retiring, I have volunteered in many areas, served on a lot of non-profit boards locally, regionally, and nationally. A couple of years ago, I joined the Brady Gun Violence Prevention Board, the national board, and I serve on 3 committees for them: fundraising, governance, and grassroots. So I bring an understanding of the level of diligence that's required to be part of a board and a governance body. And then lastly, a few years ago, I co-founded the Lakeside Village Business Council with a group of volunteers. We have spent a lot of time transforming our commercial corridor, which is Ocean Avenue between 19th and Junipero Serra, and that's about half a mile away from Stonestown. I've been a vocal supporter of the Stonestown redevelopment. In fact, the only question I had at the beginning was, if it's approved up to X number of units, why are you not building the full number of housing units? I live nearby too, and our view on Ocean Avenue is that all boats will rise on our commercial corridor through the development of Stonestown. And lastly, I just want to comment as an aside, our group in Lakeside Village is part of the Parks Alliance implosion. And so I have a very deep respect for governance and oversight that I would like to bring to be considered as part of this committee. So thank you very much for considering me. I promise not to do any British stand-up. And thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Clerk, would you please call public comment on this item?
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any speakers on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
No, seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I would like to make a motion to remove rejecting, replace with approving, and send this to the full board as a committee report.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Congratulations. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 4.
Item number 4 is ordinance amending the administrative code to update the minimum competitive amount and threshold amount for contracting to reflect recent consumer price index increases, update the local business enterprise size criteria amounts to reflect recent consumer price index increases, align the consumer price index increases with the fiscal year, and add delegated purchasing amount as a defining term in the administrative code.
Thank you, and I believe we have a presentation this morning.
Good morning. My name is Stephanie Tang, Deputy City Administrator, and we're here to talk about a technical fix to procurement legislation, specifically Administrative Code Chapter 14B, the Local Business Enterprise, LBE Ordinance. This legislation provides this fix so that we can better serve the public and staff, especially anyone who bids on city work, is a micro business, or works in procurement. These changes are not a policy change. They're just corrections. I'll pass the mic to Regina Chan, director at the Contract Monitoring Division, the lead agency on Chapter 14B, to step you through the proposed legislation to update the definitions, the contracting thresholds, and the administrative code. Regina.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, supervisors. Good morning. My name is Regina Chan. This legislation seeks to correct some sections of Chapter 14B. I'll talk you through some key procurement ideas before we get into the legislation itself. In our city's administrative code, namely Chapter 6, 21, and 14B, procurement thresholds define the pathways for contracting. These codes and concepts are interrelated. Here's the part you need to know for this legislation. The delegated purchasing amount defines when departments can purchase goods and services directly. The minimum competitive amount determines when competitive process is required for professional services and commodities. For construction and general services, it's the threshold amount that dictates when a formal competitive process is required. These dollar figures are updated periodically to reflect changes in the value of money. These updates extend also to the revenue caps that determine eligibility for a business to qualify as an LBE. This slide is about the issue that brings us here today. While these procurement thresholds are adjusted in practice, the law still references outdated numbers in the code itself, the versions that the public and the city staff see. The controller adjusts the amounts for inflation, but the code itself is not updated, which means there is no definitive or authoritative reference. The version of the code that is published online states the numbers from before they were adjusted for inflation. For example, the code says departments can purchase goods and services under $10,000, but the actual designated amount is $20,000. The code also has outdated dollar amounts for the minimum competitive amount and the threshold amount. Also, the dollar amounts that in part define LB eligibility are outdated in the code. On this slide, I show you this legislation and the solution to the issue. The proposed legislation basically does a search and replace of the outdated numbers and replaces and updates the numbers with a clearly defined concept and current dollar figures. This fix would improve clarity and operational consistency across city procurement and ultimately improves flexibility of the code. This is not a policy change. This is an example of good government in making these updates so the public and city workers have a source of information that is clear and easier to use. That is the end of my formal presentation, but I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Stephanie and Regina. Appreciate you coming in to present on this. As you know, ensuring local businesses are thriving is very important to my office and, of course, to this body. And just want to thank you for continuing to ensure that 14B is a successful program so that our local businesses can thrive. I don't see any comments or statements from colleagues, so we will go to public comment on this item.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this matter? There are no speakers on this matter.
Thank you. Seeing no speakers, public comment is now closed. And I'd like to make a motion to send this to the full board with recommendation.
Yes, on that motion, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion carries. Thank you so much. Mr. Clerk, please call item number 5.
Item number 5 is an ordinance amending the administrative code to prohibit the city from providing city funds or resources to any organizations established under Section 501(c)(4) of the Internal Revenue Code,
Thank you, and we are going to be asking to continue this item to the call of the chair while some more details get worked out, but we have to call for public comment, Mr. Clerk.
Yes, members of the public who wish to speak on this item should line up to speak at this time. Each speaker will be allowed 2 minutes.
Lovely day after this comment. I'm originally here for this item. Griffin Lee, representing Connected SF, and myself. We 110% support this ordinance proposed by Supervisor Chan. A couple of examples today where we have seen this firsthand be threatened and actually abused are from two contracts out right now via the SFMTA with their relationship with Walk SF and the San Francisco Bike Coalition. $311,000 to date over the last 2 years via to the Walk SF, and by the end of their contract, I believe next year with the SF Bike Coalition, it'll total $2.8 million over 4 years. They are both stated as 501c3 organizations, yet they lobby hard and transfer many other dollars from a 501c3 to their 501c4, which is highly against the rules and non-ethical. Another example, not through city funds, but KidSafe SF, which is now Streets for All San Francisco. They even came out in their press release when they rebranded a couple months ago that they're looking forward to helping create legislation, yet they're not a part of City Hall. This has to stop. It has to stop. And it's very transparent that their dollars are being allocated to a 501c4 when they're a 501c3, when I'm referring to Walk SF and the San Francisco Bike Coalition. Thanks so much. And thanks, Supervisor Chan, for putting this ordinance on the agenda today. Look forward to learning more about how this is going to be tracked, because there's a lot to be tracked. Thanks so much.
Are there any other speakers on this matter? There are no additional speakers.
Thank you, seeing no additional speakers. Public comment is now closed. And Mr. Clerk, I'd like to move that we continue this item to the call of the chair.
Yes, on the motion to continue to the call of the chair, Vice Chair Sherrill.
Aye.
Sherrill, aye. Member Mandelman.
Aye.
Mandelman, aye. Chair Walton.
Aye.
Walton, aye. That motion passes without objection.
Thank you. Motion to continue carries without objection. Mr. Clerk, do we have any more business before us this morning?
That completes today's agenda.
Thank you so much. We are adjourned.
SFGov TV, San Francisco Government Television.